Hey folks, how's it going? Hope you all are doing great. Appreciate that you are spending your precious time with me. Hope it's going to be worth your while. Today's topic is all about the anonymity, privacy, and fungibility of cryptocurrencies. Specifically the privacy tokens. In my previous podcast, I had talked about the various tokens that are available out there and their importance. So this one is going into a little bit more details about each of the privacy tokens. Then we'll talk about what are the available solutions to implement the anonymity, privacy, and fungibility. And once we have the available solutions, then the implementation of the solutions, we'll discuss that afterwards. So the whole idea behind blockchain, and specifically the first one that came out was the Bitcoin blockchain, was the transparency and the ability that it was not going to be altered, it's going to have all the transactions in it. That was the beauty of it, and it was distributed across, you know, many computers. There was no one individual that could change the content of the blockchain and compromise it. And this very idea was ensured by keeping track of all the transactions that happened in these blockchain distributed ledgers. So if you wanted to track a particular transaction, all you needed was the public addresses of the senders and the receivers, and then, you know, you could track each of the transactions that this sender and receiver did throughout the blockchain ecosystem. And then the value add was, once you were able to find out who these public addresses belong to, then you pretty much had all the information about this person. Where did they spend it, who did they send it to, and if these transaction that you were sending to were store public addresses, then they would know that which store you purchased something from. So in a nutshell, what's happening is that you are effectively publishing your credit card statements and your bank statements publicly, and anyone who's interested can nose around and, you know, get all the information they wanted, and nobody likes that. So the very use case of Bitcoin blockchain was to remove the middleman from all transactions, and you know, in order to do that, they had to make sure that the ledger was immutable, which means it cannot be changed, and there were multiple copies, so that, you know, no one party could monopolize the environment. And the other issue that also came out was the because everything was tracked in the Bitcoin blockchain, fungibility became an issue, where if a certain coin was used by untrusting third parties or somebody that somebody did not like, they had the option of not accepting that Bitcoin for that particular transaction. What that meant was that this particular coin was worth less than the others, which is not true, because, as you know, in real life, when you spend $5, you don't care where the $5 came from. It's the money that you have in your hand, and you just spend it. And the other party who you give the money to, they give you $5 worth of value, goods or services, as was promised. But no one looks at the $5, and no one can even now can figure out where was this $5 last used. Like you may know when you received the $5 who you got it from, but before that you don't know the history or who you gave it to. You know that, right? So n minus one and n plus one, that's all the information you have. Beyond that, you don't have any other information, and which is a good thing. But the fact that each and every coin was or is tracked in the Bitcoin blockchain, that makes it a problem. And this came to surface when some of the exchanges were discriminating, accepting Bitcoins from people. And if they knew that these Bitcoins were used in Mt. Gox or some other fraudulent activity, Silk Road or something like that, then they were saying, we will not accept these, which is not the right thing. And to address this, you know, all these privacy tokens or privacy cryptocurrencies came out. And this is the intent of for discussion coming right along next. So what are the possible solutions to address all the shortcomings I discussed previously? So some of the options I have listed out here. Mixing. Mixing is where you send your cryptocurrency to a service which will split it into multiple denominations and then send it back to you after that, which is which costs you some money. So they will charge you for it, and then, you know, that's one way of mixing your cryptocurrency. And this method that I just described, it can be described as a centralized service where there is a central body where you have to send this thing to, send your tokens to. And the reason this is not a good idea is because you are sending your tokens to a third party who you don't know. It's a different story if you really trust them and all that kind of stuff. But most of the times you don't know this third party on the internet. You're sending them these tokens to anonymize, and then they're supposed to send back to you for a fee. One of the examples of this such a service was is bitmixer.io. So the trust is one of the issues. So to address this centralized way of anonymizing your crypto tokens, decentralized options were started to get investigated, and people started looking into them. What were the best ways of addressing this? Some of the protocols that have come up with automating this whole activity are ring signatures, coin join, zero knowledge proof methods. Ring signatures was the very first one that got implemented. It was the very first method that came out. I think it came out in 2014. It was introduced by Bitcoin, and it was a framework that they came out with. Then after that, you know, CoinJoin came out. Ring signatures are an implementation where usually when a person sends a token to another individual, they use a private key and they sign it with the public key of the receiver, and then they send it out, and the receiver does a reverse. They take the public key of the sender, and then they decrypt it, and that's how they verify and they get the transaction and the money in the hands. What ring signatures is trying to do is, when you want to get involved in an exchange, you need few parties to be involved, at least three, to make it a bit more difficult to figure out. Because if there's only two, you know, A and B are exchanging, but then if there's a C involved in that, then it becomes a little bit more difficult to track, although it's not impossible, but it is trackable. But the bottom line is, the more people you have in the ring signature, the better it is. And the way it happens is, when a transaction is being sent from one person to the other, this method pretty much picks a signature of one of the participants, signs the transaction with that, and it goes to the other person, and they decrypt it and they receive the money. And from knowledge perspective, the sender does not know their particular public address, sent money to who, and the other person does not know where they got the money from. All that's confirmed is that the money went from one person to the other, but no one knows who was who. So that's ring signatures. Previous version of ring signatures only supported anonymizing sender and the receiver addresses, not the amount. Recently, ring CET was introduced, which also anonymizes the transaction amount. The next one is CoinJoin. So CoinJoin is again a method which is not really using signatures as such, but it is a fuzzing method where when you want to get involved in a transaction, the system is looking for X number of individuals to be present before this activity can happen. Because if it is, again, just like ring signatures, if there's only two people, it doesn't really make sense. You know who's sending money to who, but then you need to make sure that you have at least three people, and the more the better, to participate in this activity. And that way, what happens is everybody pools their tokens in one place, and then this in an escrow as per se, and everything is distributed then from the escrow to the recipients. And this method kind of anonymizes the transactions. The next method is zero knowledge proofs. These are implementations where for one party, the prover, to prove to another party, the verifier, that a statement is true, without sharing the exact information and asserting that the statement is true. I know it's really complicated. Maybe I'll set up another talk to get to the details of it. Some of the implementations I could come up with two at this point of time, and one of the famous ones is ZK-SNARKs, which stands for zero knowledge. So ZK, zero knowledge, and SNARKs, succinct, non-interactive argument of knowledge. The next one level up after ZK-SNARKs is ZK-STARKs, because ZK-SNARKs has some shortcomings in it, where there is a setup required before an exchange can happen, before the proof can be exchanged. ZK-STARKs does not require that that setup. But the only drawback with ZK-STARKs is where ZK-SNARKs sends the proof in a 300 byte block, and the verification takes under nine milliseconds. ZK-STARKs, because of the information that is being sent in the block, the block could be several megabytes, and then verification could take a little longer. But from security perspective, ZK-STARKs is a better version of ZK-SNARKs. Blockchain is not a solution for every use case, as you've seen. And everyone has their own implementations for certain requirements. So before you pick a particular blockchain for your implementation, make sure you have your requirements listed out. And so far, if you ignore the privacy and anonymity and, you know, fungibility aspects of any blockchain, the transaction speed is really slow. They cannot compare to the Visa network or higher speed networks that are currently operating. They're really slow. And when you add the requirement to do encryption and sending proofs and all that kind of stuff and setting up transactions and all that for the privacy tokens, it takes longer. So it is a game of cat and mouse where, you know, you're always trying to figure out what the best solution is. And, you know, again, in amongst these privacy tokens, not every privacy token is meant for everybody. You have to make sure that you select the right token for your need, because some of them are always, security is always on. Some of them have various options where you can turn on and off based on your need. Previously, we discussed the solutions to address privacy, anonymity, and fungibility. This slide is not an exhaustive list of all the privacy tokens, but I've taken the liberty of searching the web and putting a list together to explain to you guys what is out there and the different implementations of the solutions themselves. As you can see, I have sorted all these privacy tokens chronologically from when they were started. So if you look in the founded column, it tells you when they started. So working from the top, Bitcoin was the first framework that came out to address the security issue, and it was implementing ring signatures. The protocol that it uses is Cryptonote. So Cryptonote was the very first solution to address this. And as you can see, then came Monero in April of 2014. It was a fork off of Bitcoin, and they implemented RingCT privacy algorithm where the sender and the receiver and also the transaction information was anonymized, because in ring signatures only the sender and the receiver were anonymized. And then, you know, other coins came out. Aeon coin, which is Aeon coin, which is a fork off of Monero. So if you look at the forked from column, it tells you the source of where it's being forked off of. Starting in 2016, the zero knowledge proofs were more prevalent. As you can see, PIVX started with it. They're calling their implementation ZPIV, but they're in fact using ZK Snarks as well. Zcoin also uses ZK Snarks, which is an implementation which is using Zerocoin. And since then, Zerocoin has been the main driver behind all the anonymization of the cryptos. And, you know, then there's different flavors coming out. As you can see, forked from Zcash is a fork off of Bitcoin. Zclassic is a fork off Zcash, and so on. So the only cryptos so far that I've seen is that allows anonymity by default is Monero. Monero is the one that has implemented that. But again, it's one of those things where, you know, security versus speed, right? What do you do? So that's why Dash came out with their version. And Dash uses CoinJoin, and they have two options of sending. There's an instant send, there's a private send. And they also have the regular send where, you know, you don't have to encrypt anything. It just goes through the network based on whatever the you know, block size is, or block time is. Instant cash is one where, instant send is one where you get immediate confirmation. So if you're, you know, grabbing a coffee or something, and you want to be in and out, as if you use your credit card, you would use the instant send option. The regular would be just regular, you don't select anything. Then the private send is the option where it takes and anonymizes your transactions, but it's a little bit slow, so it takes time. And the way Dash does this is, and most of the cryptos, privacy tokens, the way they're doing it is they're leveraging masternodes. So masternode is the node where which is taking care of all the security and the privacy. So all private transactions go through masternodes. And the amount of tokens you require to become a masternode is pretty high at this point of time. I think Dash is sitting at about 1,000 Dash or something like that, or maybe more, but it's an exorbitant amount. And the values of crypto that are right now, even with the low market that is these days, like today the market is at its lowest. I don't think anyone is going to be afford to become a masternode of Dash or any of the cryptos, because they're still pretty expensive. And the returns as well are not that great either. And that's what I've read so far. And then, you know, going on the other side of this whole thing, there is Deep Onion, which is again running on a private network, running on the Tor network. And it gives you many options of getting anonymous. You guys already know about the Tor network. So this runs on that. That's why I have a new transport column, which I'm going to be filling in as time goes by. And you know, there's other coins. The latest one that came out is the Bitcoin Private, which is a fork off of a Bitcoin and Z Classic. Went live on the 2nd of March. Let's see where these guys end up. So guys, hopefully you gain some knowledge, some information. If you have any questions, do drop me a line by contacting me via my website. You can see at the bottom of the screen, bottom left hand side, secunoid.com, and there all my coordinates are over there. Feedback is welcome. If I've incorrectly mentioned something, or there's some inaccuracies in the slide deck, please do give me a shout. Thank you. Hey everybody, hope you found the information I shared with you today to be useful. Please like, subscribe, and share the content in your social circles. If you want to contact me, my contact details are on my website, secunoid.com. The address is also at the bottom left-hand corner of the slide deck. Finally, the information I have shared should not be used as financial advice. Play the cryptocurrency investment game at your own risk. Lastly, thank you for your time, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.